Hello.
Hey, good morning.
Hi.
Just listening to Bob Dobbs on KPFK.
Oh, yeah. What'd you think?
Fascinating. I was amazed. It's continually distressing to me to see how much intelligence there is out there and so many things happening, and I appreciate the fact that something made me listen to the radio today.
That's great. Have you tuned in before? How did you find out about it?
Just by chance. I listen to KPFK often, but not at this time of the morning. I'm not up at this time usually.
Great. What's your name?
My name is Vincent Morales.
Vincent, and what in particular impressed you? I mean, what was it?
I became aware of media manipulation and media possibilities many, many years ago, but I chose to ignore it.
How did you become aware of it?
Growing up in the 60s, Marshall McLuhan was a famous name. Timothy Leary was a famous name. And I thought that a conservative viewpoint would save me. And when I became aware in succeeding years of mystical thought and Eastern thought, that seemed more attractive. So in the last several years, I've been meditating more and more, and I'm finding that I'm much more stable now, and I'm learning that so many of the things that were around me in the 60s and 70s actually developed into truth, I think. Anyway.
Well, do you realize that media has services and disservices. Bob is not tearing down the media.
No.
He's saying we have to be aware of it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It ties into bigger issues. I think even some of the things that were said on the radio today were only clues to what you might call the real truth that is happening.
What is the real truth that's happening?
I really can't say. I don't even know if there's words for that. When people talk to me about life, my best answer is all is nothing. And I think that's certainly true. But getting to nothing involves many steps and long histories and eons, I believe. Anyway, what particularly struck me today was the concept, which I had already subscribed to, of the electric environment that we live in, and how the group consciousness is a very important factor. And we've been dwelling on the individual when, in fact, group consciousness is a bigger part of our lives in some ways. So that was very interesting to me.
Well, that's good. I'm glad you tuned in. I hope you tune in again July 23rd. And do you have a pencil and paper?
Yeah, I've got one here.
Oh. Hello?
Hi, Jerry. It's Scott.
Hi, Scott.
He asked me to call and give a response or something.
Yeah, well, what'd you think?
Oh, it was a good show. I can't wait to listen to the tape so I can find out exactly what it is I learned.
Isn't that great? That's exactly, Leo resonated it great, the kid towards the end going, Bob goes, do you get it? And he goes, well, I'll have to listen to the tape.
Right.
And it was good how you were doing it because he said, well, do you understand? And you went, yeah. And that was good because if you go, well, I don't,
right.
it, you know, you guys had concentrated enough on that topic for a while. It was good.
Uh-huh.
I thought it was great how you and Mark got in there and it was real thorough.
Yeah, well, Mark really blew me away.
Mark did a great job this time.
He really knows, he can really play with this stuff now because he's got a pretty good overview of all of this stuff. He's been working on this for a little while, huh?
Yeah, not that long, but it's almost funny. Mark's got the more natural knowledge of this from his background, and he's done the homework, but he hasn't even, I mean, me and you are more, well, you're even closer to him, but it's like we do more homework, maybe. I don't know if it's more, but it just seems Mark has a more natural way of talking. Not more than you, but more than me, definitely, with Bob. In his language, sort of.
Yeah. No, I feel that he has a more natural...
Yeah.
I'm, I, I, uh, I feel that he has a little more finesse around all of this because he has kind of a wider sense of it. And I mean, that's okay. I don't have a lot of stuff.
Yeah, it's not. See, it's the more and the better are bad terms, I think, in the long run, because one thing Bob said that bothered me, he says, I'm the best, or this is the best way.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if that's so such an important thing to say. I think maybe it is. It's something maybe we should talk to Bob about. But it's just another way. And, of course, there's, I mean, Bob's going to agree watching Howard and Rush and doing that or this is important, too.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a hard one, too, to tackle.
Yeah. Well, I enjoyed talking with him. I'm glad that I got through. And you know, there were moments there where I was sort of, I guess you could say, you know, resonating with him there on the phone and beginning to sort of feel this, you know, intuit this in a deeper level, this sort of discarnate state that he talks about that we're in when we're in the, and you know, on the electronic wire. And
you guys did well in discussing Manipian tactility. I think he spelled.
Help me phrase that, and I, you know, I have to thank you for that because you helped me to get the question a little.
Yeah, he spelled it out well. He did well, and the whole McKenna thing was great too.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking of sending a copy to Terrence of that little clip, so it gets a little idea, you know.
Right. Yeah, that would be interesting to get his response, because he has so much invested in all of this that he probably, just a natural human response would be to reject, to want to reject it, you know, because
You mean Terrence would naturally reject what Bob's saying?
Well, about the time wave.
Right, I know. That's why I think it's going to be interesting if we get Bob and Terrence to do a 90-minute dialogue.
Yeah.
But, you know, this would
I think
just...
would be a good idea. I think it would be a good idea. Cause, but, you know, I haven't heard Terrence speak for a long time. But when I was, the last time that I heard him, which was probably a couple of years ago, he was starting to get kind of stale because he was going around and around and around and beginning to... recirculate the same ideas. He was getting in kind of a rut, I thought, with his rap, and you know, this could open him up.
It could. That's exactly what I'm thinking. I like the idea.
Yeah. Well.
Well, thanks a lot for calling, Scott, and maybe I'll see you this Wednesday or something. Are you gonna?
Yeah, that'd be fun. Let's do that. Let's make a tentative appointment to do that. Is that all right with you? I mean, I don't want to.
That's great. But just call me late in a few days to reconfirm.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
Thanks, Scott.
Bye.
Bye. Hello.
Yes, is Bob Dobbs there?
Bob doesn't answer this line, but I can give you some information. This is Jerry. Who's calling?
Ron Cochran.
Ron?
Yeah.
What did you think of the show?
It was great.
And how did you find out about it?
I was just listening to it.
You just stumbled on it? You listened to KPFK?
Yeah.
And tell me specifically, what'd you like?
Any information, like, for books?
No, what did you... First of all, what did you like about the show?
The information about... All this stuff that I don't really understand.
Right. And why do you want to understand it?
Because it's interesting.
Yeah. Well, that's good. So you have a paper or pencil?
Yeah. First, Finnegan's Wake.
What have you read by Robert Anton Wilson?
What is the trilogy?
Illuminatus?
Yeah, that was crazy.
Yeah.
And then, Prometheus Rising.
Right.
And a lot of other ones that are really strange.
But what have you learned from him?
What have I learned? Let's see. Well, practically everything I'm normally believing isn't true.
Everything you're not believing?
Everything that I am believing is usually not exactly... Well, it's kind of like... I learned to doubt practically everything that I kind of think and rethink it.
Okay, like give me an example.
Well, like, let's see. Well, like the idea of God and my ideas about God kind of change from moment to moment. Sometimes I think God's a person, sometimes I think God's impersonal, and then sometimes I think it's both.
I see.
Or maybe it's a contradiction.
And do you think that's good, it's changing, or do you think you want to find one stable thought?
Let's see. Stable. I don't think there's a possibility of having a stable thought.
Okay, that's cool.
So it's, I like the idea of his saying a paradox.
That was very good.
Yeah, because sometimes you would think that if something's a paradox, then it can't be true or that it shouldn't be true.
Right.
And that's not true. I mean, paradox is a situation we find ourselves in, even though we might not like that.
Right.
So that's one of the things I've learned. That's what kind of keep me into listening to it, because it sounded like the kind of stuff that Robert Anton Wilson talks like and thinks like. So I go, what the heck is this? It sounds like Robert Anton Wilson stuff.
Right. He's called up on the show before.
Robert Anton Wilson?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah,
who else have you read besides Robert Anton Wilson that has, like, infected your thinking?
He has... Some of Robert Anton Wilson's books refer to different people, like Terrence McKinnon, and what other books did I have? I haven't read his books for so long. Right now I'm reading a book called Urantia.
Oh, yeah. What year were you born?
In 61.
And what are you learning anything from Urantia, or is that having an effect on you?
Yeah, Urantia is really it talks about, you know, the many different beings that supposedly influence, affect, and cause our world and ourselves, and there's a whole chapter of Christ's life and how Jesus lived his life as opposed to some of the ways that the scriptures talk about Christ. And it's interesting to read something other than the Bible. I've been a Christian, or what I thought was a Christian, for practically my whole life, and having one of my goals was to test my Christian faith against stuff that I consider to be bad or satanic, which a normal Christian thinks, like Robert Anton Wilson's books, would be considered satanic, you know, and bad. And one of the things that I wanted to do is to test my Christian faith by reading his books and other books and reading Urantia. And one of the reasons I picked up Urantia, which I found in a bookstore just by browsing through the religious section, I picked it up thinking, all right, I want to find out, you know, how the bad guys are going to take over the world and rule the world. I have this idea, just like most Christians do, that the Antichrist or something bad is going to happen to the world, you know. So I pick up this book, and I want to figure out, you know, what are these guys up to? And I used to think that there was, like, an Illuminati or some secret cabal that's running the place. And then after reading Robert Anton Wilson's thing, it's kind of like he was talking about how Philip K. Dick and himself, I have a tape on Philip K. Dick interview that talks about how he and Robert Anton Wilson were friends, and they used to talk about how there's a secret cabal, but it's not an evil cabal. It's like a benign or good cabal, but you can't tell that it's there or something.
Right. And you believe that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think there's a good thing. It just, it's kind of like they have a hands-off policy or something.
Do you, are you still a practicing Christian?
No.
Yeah. And how long have you not been?
Well, ever since I started reading Robert Anton Wilson's book and getting into it, was a slow process of getting out of that the Christian perspective.
Right. One practice you might consider is called suspended judgment, and getting away from saying good and bad and getting closer to saying services and disservices.
Yeah, that was
just
cool.
just like TV. Bob is not saying TV is bad. He's saying it has services and disservices, and the most important thing is to study the effects.
Yeah, I did a New Year's resolution where I'm not even watching television anymore. I just have my cassettes where I have on tape Woody Allen's Love and Death and Catch 22 and
Well, that's amazing. Catch 22. There's a character in there that is Bob Dobbs, and then there's also Marsha McLuhan is in Annie Hall, Woody Allen's film.
And he actually shows up and goes, "You know nothing of my work. How can you even talk about this?"
Yeah. My whole fallacy is wrong.
Yeah, he goes, "Don't you wish life was like this, where you could just rip somebody apart?" Yeah.
Well, that's good. It was good talking to you, Ron, and keep on pursuing this, and I look forward to getting your self-addressed stamped envelope, and I'll send you some more info.
Cool, thanks.
All right,
bye.
Bye. Hello?
Hi, how do I get the tape from Bob Dobbs?
Do you have a paper and pencil?
Yep, I came prepared. Are you Bob Dobbs?
No, I'm not. My name's Jerry. What's your name?
Dreamweaver.
Dreamweaver. All right. And was this the first time you've ever heard him?
Well, I only caught the very tail end that were in the question part. I mean, I turned my radio on, and I was fascinated by what he had to say, and I went, more, more. It ended.
That's too bad.
Sure.
So you've never heard him on KPFK before?
No, I never caught that one.
And you're just a regular listener to the station?
Yeah, for about 17 years, I've never caught him on radio. Isn't that amazing?
Well, that's great.
I don't listen to a lot of TV. I don't watch any TV or listen to hardly any radio, but occasionally I catch by poking it on and catch something interesting. So how do I get the...
Yeah. Okay, so you have paper and pencil? Read Marsha McLuhan at all?
No.
Well, that's another...
I've listened to Noam Chomsky and, what can I say? I haven't, no.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying I'd recommend checking out Marsha McLuhan's books, and I'd also suggest checking out Finnegan's Wake by James Joyce.
Finnegan's Wake.
I
don't have much time to read, so...
Okay.
I figure I get it better on tapes. That's why I like... I realize that in the last 10 years I've been so busy doing my own work and stuff that I don't have time to listen much on the radio, but if I hear a good tape when I'm driving somewhere, I throw the tape in, and that's where I get it, you know. And if you happen to turn on KPFK during a time when they have a tape, great, but most of the time when I seem to be listening to it, somebody playing something I don't like, music.
Right.
I like the music, but some of it I don't, so I just click it off and then put it in tape. But Finnegan's Way, James Joyce... Now, how do I get the tape? Do I send you money? You just want an envelope?
Well, I'll send you information about Bob and about his tapes.
Why don't I just send you money for one tape to get me started? I don't want to wait that long.
Oh, I see.
The self-addressed envelope, and you can send me back the information on the tapes and a tape.
And a...
Interesting clearing of the automatic part of our brain.
What exactly do you do?
Muscle testing, specialized kinesiology. You test the automatic part of the brain. The arms go weak and tell you where the stressors are. You take them out, you put them back in, and the arms go strong, and that's how you work with the brain. It's a whole field.
Wow.
But I'm always looking at new areas to what is it that I need to clear for someone. What's the block?
Right.
We're affected a lot by the blocks. I deal with diffusing and clearing people to protect them from electromagnetic energies and ultra-low radio frequencies. But I realize there's more in that area I need to know about. So if we're getting bombarded with something or led a certain way, you can diffuse the person so they can take a choice to take positive action rather than sitting in front of that stupid, I can swear, fucking TV set. We're not on the air, I hope.
But no, we're not on the air. But you know what's important?
TV set and have the choice to turn it off. But most people are at no choice because they don't know that they've been had.
Yeah, but...
They're off.
Right. That's very good. You're talking some true Bob language there. But there's another point of view you have to keep in mind.
What?
And that is every medium, all media, are extensions of human sensorium. So the shoe, the wheel is an extension of the foot, and the clothing is an extension of the skin.
So all media is an extension of...
of some human sensorium. So let me just finish the thought. And so every media has services and disservices.
Yes.
So if we say, oh, the wheel is horrible, turn it off. If we say the TV is horrible, turn it off.
Well,
that's good. At some point, it's good. But what I'm saying is TV has services and disservices.
What I'm saying about TV is when I say I don't watch TV, I mean I make it a deliberate act. I put something in or deliberately watch a program. I don't sit and watch TV and
right.
let myself get bombarded with it.
Right.
I only use it when I need it. When I want it to, that it's going to give me something good that I want off it, then
right.
I use it. But most people, TV uses them.
And that's exactly.
I'm going on the opposite, where you have a choice to use it. Oh, let's watch this tonight. I want to know what's happening in Rwanda. Let's catch the news.
Yeah.
You know, and then realize that you're only getting a slice of it, so you need to go further.
Yeah.
But that's where I'm talking about people who don't have that choice because they don't know.
Yeah.
There's a missing link somewhere. But what I was fascinated with was the fact that when they talk about the center of language. That's
yeah.
the theory that when you start talking about that, I start getting very excited about what's that hidden center. And, you know, and like you said, the media is all an extension from out of us.
Right.
Yeah, so I get it. So I want some more tapes.
What year were you born?
What?
What year were you born?
1942.
Well, what I suggest is that you call up next show because I think you have something very important to touch on with Bob. And try to call right around 7. Get in early because he'll give you more time to dialogue.
Great. Well, Jerry, being very honest, I'm not sure that I'm there, that I want to dialogue, but what I'm doing yet, I'm very busy working.
Okay.
When it gels, it's the right time. It ain't the right time for me to get into anything, but it's the right time for me to expand what I'm doing.
Right, but I'm just saying
the number here, so...
But as a question, even if you don't want to dialogue, just to call him and say, Bob, this is what I do, and I'm pursuing to take it beyond or be more aware, what do you suggest? Just the question alone.
Yeah, how do we turn on the center of people?
That's exactly it.
Have a choice to know what it is that's out there so that they can take control of their lives and say, well, let's watch this tonight. No, we don't watch that stuff. That's, you know, garbage. Because they're always talking about us having a choice, but in reality we don't because we're subconsciously programmed not to.
That's very good.
But where it comes from, you know, and all the theories of space aliens, and I deal with space aliens, but space alien means to me something that's alien to me that's coming from me, from not from my own space, but from out there.
Right.
So whatever it is, actually an ultra-low radio frequency is a space alien. Not supposed to be here, and suddenly it's creeping along and we can't see it, but we're all going screwy big time because we don't know we're being knocked off our center. Or we just got, you know, flooded from the air with bacteria and we're all sick and we're going, why are we sick?
Yep.
But if you didn't have the program in your brain, and I'm talking physical computer between the ears, not the mind, okay?
Yeah.
What you have to come through is the brain. There is a mind, but you've got to come through the physical computer brain. Why is there a program in there that says, if they drop bacteria on me, I have to get sick? Why isn't the program in there that says, doesn't matter what you drop on me, I can diffuse it, I can clear it off, and it won't stick to me, and my immune system will kick it out immediately. That's the track I'm on with my work.
And you think that's possible?
I know it is.
And your work is
proof? Oh, it is. I have seen it. I have taken I also raise llamas, and I've taken one of my llamas whose genetic code was to have very thin legs.
Yeah.
I changed the genetic code at conception by age recessing him there through muscle testing into the computer brain, put in a different program, so to speak, in my technique. He now has normal, good, healthy legs for a boy. I said, oh, we're so smart.
Amazing. Do you report this in magazines? Or?
Oh, no. Are you kidding? Do you think I want to be run wild, ragged, out of town, you know, burned again at the stake? And this
right.
time in a certain, you know, in the way they do you now? No, no, no.
Yeah.
You have to do this stuff quiet. You have to do this and keep doing it one brain at a time.
Right.
You
well,
know,
good.
And it's okay.
Yeah, that's
you have to
good.
Be other because, but what I want to know is, there must be, since we all come from that same place, we all have that hidden center within us, there must be some way to turn on the 100th monkey to the other side.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I want to know. That's where I think what he's talking about will help me.
That's a great question. I hope you call in on the 23rd and ask it.
Jerry, I'm going to rely on you to direct me in the proper way, and I'll send you some bread here and some address and everything else. And my name is spelled D-R-Y-M-E, so when it comes, you go, who is this?
Wait, spell again. D-R...
Y-M-E.
Uh-huh.
Weaver, W-E-A-V-R-E.
Weavre.
Yeah, Dreamweaver.
Great. Great to hear from you.
Yeah, thanks.
Thanks for calling.
Bye.
Bye. Hello?
Hey, is this a Bob Dubs connection?
It sure is. Who's calling?
This is Mr. Elry. And I, you don't know me, I or any name or anything. I just want to know where I could get some of your publications or tapes or such.
Yeah, do you have a paper or pencil?
I've got it here.
All right. The best, what intrigued you about the show?
The whole bit, it was excellent. I listened to the botanist from South Mexico a long time, and I got a... I'm all interested in all related stuff in that cybernetics and the other dimensions and whole new technology and the Q and the whole language bit and James Joyce, the whole cluster of associations and stuff, and it's very interesting.
Great. What year were you born?
This is the year of 23.
And do you want to give me your phone number? I'll call you to remind you just before he's back on July 23rd.
Yeah, I put that down. My address is 310.
No, what's your phone number?
Yeah, that's the prefix.
Oh, 310.
Okay, 421.
Uh-huh.
6858.
All right. Well, thanks a lot for tuning in.
Okay. Now, let's see. What the heck? That Jerry, I didn't get that. I'm sorry. I'm not that swift anymore picking up the names. Jerry, what was that last name? How do you pronounce it? Good. And I, Clarence McKenna is what I'm thinking of. It sort of picks up and intermixes with his sort of perspective and such as that.
All right. Thanks for calling.
Okay. Good deal.
All right. Bye. Hello?
Hi. Is Bob in?
No, this is Jerry. I can help you. What's your name?
I'm Chris.
Hi, Chris. Was that the first time you ever heard the show?
Yeah.
And how did you happen to stumble on it? Do you listen to KPFK regularly, or did you know about it?
Well, I just, by chance, set it as my radio wake-up call in the morning about a month ago.
Yeah.
I've been recently listening to it.
Well, good. I'm glad you caught the show. Make sure you tune in July 23rd from 6 to 8:30 a.m.
Well, I'm curious, though, because I've been studying the subject for a number of years, and my source has been, one of my main sources has been a series of books called The Matrix by Val Valerian and Michael Topper. Are you familiar with that?
I'm not familiar with those, but when you say I've been studying the source, what do you mean in particular?
Well, basically the subject that, what's his name, Bob, what?
Bob Dobbs.
Bob Dobbs, what he was talking about as far as the... It sounds like...
No, what are you defining as the source?
Well, you mean when I was talking about the books?
Yeah, I mean, is that the title of the book? See, I'm just trying to clarify. You says I've been studying the source. Is that just the title
of... No, my source. What I mean is my main... Okay.
Yeah,
I went into the religious experience early on, and I've been searching, and I finally came to these books called The Matrix. Okay, there's a series of four books.
Okay.
And they've been progressive. They've come out like one every 1 or 2 years. And
what are you learning from them that you saw resonate in Bob?
Well, the manipulation, the electronic manipulation of consciousness,
uh-huh,
human beings, the biological manipulation, biological organisms.
Right.
They get into the whole, they have one, the third series is just the whole thing's on the alien deal, the underground bases and the different types of aliens that have been interacting with our government. And they get into the, you know, trapping our souls in the Bardo. You know,
right?
And that the light is not actually what we think it is as we're going to God, but it's actually their light. They actually capture our souls into a holding place, and then we're released back into a container, which is the body, and programmed and back into society as a, you know, as a worker bee or whatever. But we're basically trapped souls, and we're programmed, and then we die, and we go back into the light.
And you believe that?
Well, I don't know, but you know,
that's what you're studying.
Yeah, that's what I've been studying, and the fourth one that just came out, it's all into geometry. It gets into sacred geometry. It's thicker than a phone book. Pretty interesting. And I was just curious because I woke up this morning, I heard what he was talking about, and I was, you know, curious just to bounce things, his information off that, and you know.
Well, I would be specific on July 23rd with him about your question, and you know, detail it the best you can and see what you can learn from it, because I think he would have a lot to offer.
Well, is there any way of getting any other information?
Oh, sure. Do you have a pencil or paper?
Yeah.
Okay. You
offer.
I haven't. Bob might have. How do you spell the last name?
T-O-P-P-E-R.
Okay. Well, I'll check into it. Is it where? What section of the?
He claims to be the word on the Maha Chohan for right now.
Okay, but what section would he be in at the bookstore?
He wouldn't be in the bookstore. I only know two places you can get the Matrix.
Where?
You can get it at the Spiral Staircase.
Yeah.
And you can get it. Let me see, Spiral Staircase and.
But is it science fiction?
No. This is.
Is it metaphysics?
It's an accumulation. It's called the.
But is the Matrix by Michael Topper?
It's by Val Valerian.
Oh.
Val Valerian puts it together.
Oh, I've seen those. They're like big, thick telephone books.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I've seen those.
Oh, you've seen them?
Oh, yeah, there's lots of Bob stuff in those.
Oh, really?
Oh, sure, yeah, because he's got, I think he's got Sherman Skolnick in there, Dr. Peter Beter, Mae Brussel. Yeah, he's got a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, LaRouche, all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, the front covers have...
I've seen them. Yeah, you can get them at Mandala. Mandala Bookstore in Santa Monica.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, the other place is the Inner Images. You can get it there, too.
Where's that?
It's in Santa Monica.
Inner Images?
Inner Images. It's in Santa Monica.
Where in Santa Monica?
I've only been there once. Geez, I don't know Santa Monica enough. It's in that little mall area.
Yeah, in the Promenade.
The
okay.
Promenade. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, but yeah, he's yeah. It's interesting to hear what he was saying. You know, it's
good. I would also suggest reading Marshall McLuhan, and you'll get a list of all his books.
I will.
Yeah, and also Finnegan's Wake. I mean, put Val's book down and just start reading Finnegan's Wake, and you'll really advance.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, I mean.
Because see, the thing of it is, with Val's book, I started reading his stuff, and I was catching on to this, and it all made sense, but when he refers to Michael Topper as a spiritual source. Now, if you've ever read any of Michael Topper's stuff, he calls it initiated understanding.
Mm-hmm.
And, To comprehend the stuff that he writes is just incredible. I mean, the guy is, you know, and so I find it very difficult to get to grasp what he's saying. And it's not pretty hard to grasp what Bob was saying this morning, but
exactly.
I'm wondering maybe Bob is a little more.
Bob is very accessible. What you need to do is your homework a little, and you need to tape the shows because that's the only way you'll be able to consume them.
Yeah.
Because you can't get them on just one listening. You have to listen to them over.
So what's Bob claiming to be? Because he was mentioning about,
He's not really claiming to be anything. He's just a catalyst for discussion, and he's getting people to think, to take the ball and run with ideas.
Uh-huh.
You know.
Hmm. Yeah. Well, I need something to help me clarify a little bit, because I would
get some of this information, check it out. Try to focus your questions for the 23rd and then call up early, like around 7 or 7:30.
Have you found a lot of people in this whole, that are involved in studying this? Have you found people that are struggling with feeling kind of like not who they are or where they're at? Because that's something I've been experiencing more as I've gotten into this. I'm experiencing moments of not really, no, I'm feeling almost torn apart in many ways, not knowing really who or where I'm at. You know what I mean? I mean, I'm existing, I'm functioning.
Every time we have Bob on the radio, people call up and express that same sort of problem.
Uh-huh.
Sure, that's indeed happening.
Is that because of the electronic...
That's definitely involved in it. Yeah, I think the important thing is to think about it and talk about it and keep communicating about it. And don't close up, you know.
Don't close up?
Yeah, don't hide and feel that you're weird and that you've got something wrong with you.
Well, my main thing, I guess, and I'll let you go after this because I'm not going to bombard you with questions, but my main...
No, that's where we're here, so don't hesitate.
Okay. Well, I just been trying to find, and I was trying to find this through the Matrix series, is find a center or find a focus, you know, some sort of a religion or something for the psyche that would work for me.
Yeah.
And, you know, he suggests Michael Topper, but I can't get a handle on Michael Topper.
I would say,
you know,
that's important in a sense, but maybe you want to explore some people like Alan Watts, The Book, it's called. I would highly recommend that.
It's called The Book?
It's called
Alan Watts?
The Book by Alan Watts. Mm-hmm. And I would suggest reading Marshall McLuhan.
How do you spell that?
McLuhan. You'll get a list and all that on McLuhan.
Can I get this at any bookstore?
Yeah, but wait until you get the list from me, because then you'll be able to see what's in print and what's out of print. And,
I see.
And then Bucky Fuller,
uh-huh.
I would suggest reading. And I would suggest listening to Alan Watts every Monday on KPFK from 2 to 3.
2 to 3 Monday, KPFK, what's the call letters on that?
90.7 FM.
90.7?
Yes, 90.7, the station you heard Bob on.
FM. Yeah, well, I didn't even know the station. I just
yeah.
happened to have it on there, and it woke me up this morning, and I was glued to it.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I think you got to keep struggling because you got to realize you're never going to find a real center or focus. In some ways you are, but the search is what's important. The gap is where the action is, McLuhan said. And he wasn't talking about the clothing store. He's talking about what you're thinking about, what you want. You want a center, you want a focus. But what are you going to do, Chris, when you find it? You know.
Then I'm going to channel my energy into some, for instance, you know, sunshine, you know, the sun itself. It's a ball of energy that's illuminating the universe,
mm-hmm.
our galaxy. You know, there's a purpose there. There's something that it's doing. It's focused. It's doing something. And so as human beings, you know,
what's
like a flower. A flower grows up and it blossoms. That's what it does. And I guess what I'm saying is to be conscious of what it is that you are.
That's very good. Yeah, you've already got a center and a focus right there. You're aware of your consciousness.
But I'm not being able to. I don't feel like I'm grasping. I mean, I could talk
good.
About it.
Good. That's good. You keep struggling with it. That's important. I think you should keep trying. What part of town do you live in?
I'm up in Ventura.
Oh, because there's lots of great lectures at Phoenix Bookstore and Midnight Special you can attend every week. People talking about this in their
over at the Phoenix in Ventura?
Yeah, in Santa Monica.
Oh, in Santa Monica.
Yeah, they're free. So whatever. I mean, you check out this information. Keep listening to Bob and study all the people Bob suggests. I would say check them out too.
What do you have a spiritual preference that you use? Do you see what I'm saying?
Well, it's hard for me to say spiritual preference because it really goes into a lot of things. You have to realize your history. Were you raised a particular religion?
I was raised
What religion?
Prominently Protestant view.
Okay. So you have to review what happened to you because of that. You know, so you take that into account. Then you focus on what you are actually doing. You know, you're trying to find the center of focus, so you're searching.
Well, for instance, like the Church Universal and Triumphant, Elizabeth Clare Prophet, the Ascended Masters, they teach that we came from the sun, in a sense, or we are returning, something like that. But their whole focus is surrounding around the sun, which, when I look at the sun and I wake up in the morning, something rings inside and says, this makes sense, okay?
Well, that's about good. See, so why don't you take a little from that? And work with it. But I think it's probably, you'd probably be better off if you don't get swallowed into just that.
Okay.
See, that's maybe what you're thinking, is that you need to be swallowed into Michael Topper or into Bob Dobbs or into Claire Prophet.
Right.
I would say avoid that. Avoid thinking that you need to be just centered on one, and take what you can from each one. That's what Bob has really done, and that's why he succeeds so well at communicating.
What's difficult, though, is the desire to want to find something is because I don't feel like I have a center. And I guess...
Well, that's you're better off with that desire, because you're never going to find it.
Yeah, but if you're it, though, I mean, I think you're the path, right? And you'd probably agree with me that we're the path. You know what I mean? In other words,
okay,
no exterior path. I'm the path. But I want to become more conscious and more feeling orientated of my own personal path. And I guess the only way to do that is through experience. Is that what you're telling me?
Not the only. Not the only. That's a very important one. But studying, reading, listening, that's all experience. Making mistakes is all part of that learning process. And the desire and your consciousness, awareness, that's all part of it. I'm saying, look at the big picture. When you become specialized and say, I'm just a Protestant, I'm just a Roman Catholic, I'm just a Michael Topperhead, you're probably going to be more closed. And for some reason, you think that finding it in one particular thing, get something out of Alan Watts. He has tons to offer. The book is probably going to be real important for you to read. It's just called The Book by Alan Watts.
Can I get it at just about any bookstore? Do you know?
Yeah, or metaphysical bookstores have it.
Yeah.
You know, and all of it. Alan Watts has The Wisdom of Insecurity. Get that one, too. That's just what I'm trying to tell you. There's wisdom in insecurity. You're not secure with where you're at.
That's what it is.
And it's called The Wisdom of Insecurity. So check that one out,
Alan
too.
Alan Watts?
Yeah. And go from there. See, get the info from me, and then call me back sometime. We'll talk more.
Okay.
You know, dive into it a little deeper. But you know, you're on the right path, definitely. I wouldn't say that. I think you got the good intentions, and you got the willpower and the conscious awareness.
I haven't been one I have a whole metaphysical library at home, and
That's good.
From things.
And what you also need is to constantly communicate with other people and bang ideas around. You can't just hold the stuff in. I mean, you making the effort to make this phone call was very important. That was great. So find.
But I do get to a point, though, where it's kind of like you almost can get exhausted in this thing, and mentally I feel.
Then get exhausted.
Geometric, if I want to say it, if this makes any sense, geometrically in my mind, I don't feel balanced. In my mind, through all this maze, I'm starting to feel like there's no form to the energy upstairs here. I feel like it's just kind of like going, kind of like Ren and Stimpy, you know?
I know.
It's just out there, and it's scary, because at times I'm like, I don't know what, you know, what the fuck to say no to or to say yes to, you know what I mean? I'm just, you know, it's just crazy sometimes.
I know. Hold on one second. Sorry, Charles. So anyways... What else intrigues you about Bob's shows, if anything? Do you just like the political end?
No, I'm pursuing everything that's going on, and I do see war in the future, and I don't like it. I want to stop it. That's my personal mission.
Mm-hmm.
Stop it before it happens, and it is happening on all the realms he talks about.
Uh-huh.
So the religious aspects too,
uh-huh.
And I just stinks to me. Thanks to high heaven. So that's, and also I did pick up Marshall McLuhan's book, Understanding Media, and started perusing through it. I don't think I'll ever read James Joyce. It's too in depth for me.
Well, I'm glad you're checking out all these other sources. Did you send me a self-addressed stamped envelope?
Yeah.
Oh, so you got that information.
Yeah, and I need some more information about the solar government, or the different governments and that sort of thing, because that's not real clear to me. What, in his, I guess his mind anyway, the battles that are going on.
Yeah, you know, the best thing is to call up on July 23rd.
When he's on again?
Yeah. You got the call-in number? I'll give you it if you want.
No, I listen to KPFK.
Yeah. Call up then and ask him on the air.
Okay. And is he really 70-some years old? He sounds like he's in his 30s.
Well, he says what he says. I can't say what he says. I think everything he says is total bullshit and total truth.
Okay. Yeah, his voice is too young for somebody in his 70s. And unless he's been a virgin up on a high mountain for...
Wait, Mark's here. He wants to say something.
Obviously, Bob doesn't put out any straight facts. Everything is a satire on some level. Obviously, Bob is not... Obviously, on the most strict physical rational level, Bob is not a 72-year-old black female. Okay? But I think that he uses that guy just merely to show you that the last bastion of discrimination that exists in our culture is not race or religion or sex, it's age.
No, I respect older people more, actually. Well, they seem
right.
Some, anyway.
You respect younger people less.
No, some young, well, old people have taken their lumps.
Well,
young people...
I think young people are the lumps.
Yeah, that's what they're considered. And they're sort of the excrement. They are considered our excrement worth of wiping off our shoe. So.
Or they're somebody else's property, right?
Yeah.
So don't you think maybe Bob is satiring that situation?
Yeah.
Does it matter whether he's 72 or if he's 30 years old, what he says?
Yeah, but then, see, the bullshit just starts getting deeper.
Well,
and
I don't think it's bullshit. I think it's humor.
Well, I guess.
I think that's his whole point, is he's trying to get people to laugh.
Because
he thinks if we get too serious, we're gonna get caught up in something that we're angry about and maybe miss the point.
Okay.
I don't know.
You guys still eat tuna?
No.
I do, sorry. Very rarely.
Well, then you'll love the GATT agreement.
I heard that on KPFK this morning.
I read it in the Wall Street Journal. Yeah, they're gonna make this one public. I think when Clinton, I think he's a New World Order guy, and when he rams GATT through, because he's not gonna do anything for the poor or any of those people, but when he rams GATT through, then the United States won't be able to appeal the next decisions from the World Trade Organization. So they can appeal all they want now and make it to get it through. And then after it goes through, no more appeals. So we'll all be eating some slimy tuna.
Not me.
Anyway.
Well, thanks for calling, Charles.
Yeah, could I send him through you guys if I find those articles again in my pile?
Oh, definitely.
You are right now.
Okay.
Yeah. Send the articles to the address. My address.
Okay.
And I'll forward them to Bob. No problem.
Okay.
Thanks, Charles.
Thank you.
Okay. And you know what?
What?
I'll give Dennis your number when I see him at Emory, and maybe he can give you rides there.
Okay.
Or he'll turn you on to Beater Tapes.
Okay. I got to check out what he said first. Okay.
Thanks for calling, man.
Bye.
Bye.
Yeah.
Do you like your voice?
Yeah.
What is your dream of... What did you dream last night?
Even though my poster was all over town, no one noticed me. That was a dream.
Do you believe in dreams?
Yes, I do.
Do you believe in jinxes?
Yes, I do.
Do you believe in magic?
Yes, I do.
Do you believe in God?
Yes, I do.
Gary Pelka?
Yes?
Hi, my name is Mike Anderson. I've been trying to reach you for a while.
Hi, Mike. In what regard are you calling?
Bob Dobbs.
All right. Did you hear the show?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I just listened to the tape for the third time.
And this third
one
time.
Of ones. My brother records them off the radio.
Is this the first time you ever heard Bob?
Oh, no, actually, about a month or two. I mean, I've been listening to him. Pretty interesting stuff.
Good. What in particular do you like?
But basically, I'm sort of intrigued about a lot of these different planes of existence he speaks of and different conscious levels. And of course, the stuff with the Bodhis that Nelson said that you might have access to.
The Bodhis, you mean?
Yeah, what did I say?
Oh, yeah, Bodhis, that's all right. You know, but you mean you called time again?
Yeah, actually, I got a catalog. I'm going to order his Media Ecology.
Yeah.
Is liner notes on those CDs?
Yep.
Okay. So I got those on order.
Good.
Nelson up there was saying, you know Nelson?
Sure.
Yeah, I talked to him for a while. He's a good guy.
Good.
But he was saying you might have some other radio recordings, I guess. Was Bob on the radio in Toronto?
He was on the radio in Toronto for quite a while. Do you have a paper and
pencil? Basically get as much as I can.
Do you have a paper and pencil?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Thinking.
So you've listened to this last show how many times?
Three times.
And then the other shows you listened to how many times?
Really like parts of it like twice or three times.
Right. So you get like multiple listenings, you get to get new insights or...
Start sinking in.
Yeah, it starts sinking in.
You know, as far as a lot of the different planes in the mythic stage that he's outlined, I guess he covers all that in the CDs.
It's going to help you once you get the liner notes and the CDs and stuff.
Yeah. But this guy's pretty... He drinks D-cell juice. What is that?
It's a water purifying rock. And it's not juice, it's just you put this little rock in a jar of water and it purifies and energizes the water.
That has something to do with batteries or something.
No.
It's kind of crazy.
Nothing to do with batteries.
But he talks about making his himself public in the next couple of years.
Well, maybe. We got videos of him, you can watch those sometimes.
Well, I'm going to send out some tapes, and I'm going to get as much as I can.
Well, you got my number, Mike. Stay in touch, and I'd love to talk to you more about it.
We'll definitely do that.
Okay.
Thanks, Jerry.
Thanks for calling.
All right, bye-bye.
Hello? Hello?
Jerry.
Yeah.
I'm glad you're in. You know the...
Hello?
How does Bob feel about faxing from the Christmas?
Hello?
Hi, Jerry.
Yeah.
It's Lean.
Hello?
Jerry.
Yeah.
How's it going?
Good.
Wait.
Hello?
Jerry. I'm timing you.
Bob, I just was looking for my money, and here it is. But I'm so glad you called, because this is on tape. Well. Hello?
Jerry.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks. Everything worked.
Yay! Hello?
Hi, Jerry.
Yeah.
Bill.
Hey, Bill, did you get my message about... Okay, Mark, go ahead.
Hey, Bob. Hey, Jer.
Hi.
Anyhow, in the advanced filtering repercussions of the show on Saturday, I was looking through Zillion's Wake with a Friend, and then we decided to put on a new disc that I had, Ohm by John Coltrane. I started to look through the liner notes. And in the third paragraph, Coltrane began to discuss the word Ohm, and he says, and I quote, "It has a further meaning as well. As Coltrane pointed out during a conversation about this album, Ohm means the first vibration, that sound, that spirit which set everything else into being. It is the word from which all men and everything else comes, including all possible sounds that man can make locally. It is the first syllable, the primal word, the word of power." Okay, now... What this has to do with Bob and everybody else is that later in the 1234, about the 15th paragraph, it starts, and I quote, "The medium, says Marshall McLuhan, is the message, and that point can be applied with particular emphasis in this music. If we are to get to the essence of unity, John Coltrane seemed to be saying to me that he was playing here, we have to cut through layers of self-defense against the dissonances of being, against the sometime dissonant presence of others, against the unresolved ambivalences within oneself, and that also means purification in the sense that defensive walls have to be broken down before we can find out what has been gathering and festering behind those walls. So now I may interpolate and reread this in terms of the ten thunders of Finnegan's Wake and say, the ten thunders of Finnegan's Wake represent the first vibration, that sound, that spirit which set everything else into being. It is the ten thunders which represent the word from which all men and everything else comes, including all possible sounds that man can make vocally. It is the first syllable of the primal word, the word of power. So in other words, Om, the ten thunders being a 1,001 word expansion of Om.
That is great.
So, Bob, we can wrap down on that, take that to another level, use it for whatever you want, bring it through the top-down, bottom-up conspiracy chart, and realize that the medium is definitely the message. So that's what I wanted to share with Bob and Jer. And we'll be talking to you soon, Bob. Bye, Jer.
Thanks, Mark. What did you find intriguing about Bob's show? Or first of all, maybe you could tell me, was this the first time you heard Bob?
I think I'd heard him once, maybe several years ago.
So did you just stumble upon it this time?
Yes, I'm normally not up in the morning.
Okay, and what did you find intriguing about Bob?
The whole range of things tied into one.
I see. There's nothing specific you can mention?
Well, it's not fresh in my mind at this point in time.
Yeah. Okay, and you know, you might also consider.
Would like to hear that show. He was real interested in it, but could you call him and remind him? Is that fine? I'll give you his phone number.
No problem.
His name's Bob, and his phone is.
All my heart. I want you to know I'm still in a lot of grief about Garrett, and I probably will be in grief my whole life. It will never be the same. But nonetheless, I have the joy of him and the joy. He is there within my heart. I dream about him all the time. I have wonderful.
That's fine.
That's good. You know, the craziness is important. Sometimes you have to employ what's called tetrad management, something Bob talked about a little. You will get a sheet when you get the four pages from me that explain what a tetrad is. If you want to just go get the book on it, there's two of them. There's one called Laws of Media. That's in print, and that is by Marshall McLuhan. The other one is called The Global Village, and they talk about tetrads in there. The fourth step of tetrad management is flipping into your opposite. You know, apply that. In apply all four steps and study the tetrads that McLuhan has put out. And that is all a great process of analyzing ideas and artifacts.
So maybe that's what I'm looking for. Is the tetrad, is that like a geometrical form?
Well, sure. It's okay. a four-step process.
Maybe that's what I'm looking for. I'm feeling.
I think that's something you could grasp onto and definitely apply. And we're probably going to have a McLuhan seminar in Santa Monica, so if you express interest in that in your letter to me, then I'll include you on the mailing list.
And what's that again? It's a.
We're going to have a thing on Marshall McLuhan, a little seminar. And we're going to talk about tetrads in particular.
How do you spell Marshall McLuhan?
M-A-R-S-H-A-L-L. Last name, M-C, capital L-U-H-A-N.
Okay. Well, I'll...
What year were you born, Chris?
I was born in 64.
All right.
Yeah, 64.
All right, so I look forward to your envelope.
Okay, I'll get it off in the mail.
And don't hesitate to ever call me.
All right, I appreciate that.
All right.
Hey, let me just say one thing, and
okay.
I'm out of here.
All right.
One thing, because you had mentioned the geometric form. Michael Topper talks about doing, he has a couple techniques he says to do. One is charger breath. That is lifting your, you know, squinting your nose up and breathing in really hard and breathing out really hard three times. And you do it like, you do this like four times in a row.
Right.
You build as you go. And he also mentions creating a five-pointed star just about an inch inside your forehead, going, there's a certain, you're supposed to draw it.
What do you mean creating it? You mean
you draw it in your forehead. Now I don't.
No, you draw it on your forehead, or you do it in your mind's eye.
With your mind's eye, yeah.
Okay.
No, you don't draw it on your forehead. With your mind's eye, you envision this going. When I say draw it, he points. He has a.
Okay.
Anyway, you're supposed to go up, down, left, right, and down with it, and you're supposed to do that in the blue fluorescent light. Now, see, I don't know.
But that the second one doesn't seem applicable to me. The first one sounds very applicable.
Yeah, the charger breath.
Sure, that seems applicable.
This is I don't really know exactly what all this stuff means, but in my path, my being or inside my heart center or my soul, it moves me into these areas. I don't understand them, but I feel right about them. I feel
That's
right about
good. You don't always go with intellectual. Go with feeling. Just like you're taught not to cry, you should cry when you need to cry.
But see, when I go with feeling sometimes, my brain goes wacko.
Well, that's just what...
What in the hell
well,
are you...
Well, wait. That's what you've been deemed... That's how society has deemed what you're trying to conceive it. You go, this is wacko. Don't consider it as wacko. Just consider it as the last experience and the one upcoming. Why do you have to deem it wacko?
Because it's my brain starts going wacko. It feels
but no, that's,
starts roasting.
You're not understanding me. You're deeming it wacko because of what your environment, your society, your parents, or whatever have told you what being wacko is.
Okay, so I'm coming out of my programming and I'm judging it.
Right, just go with it, flow with it, and see what it does. I mean, don't if it takes you into the state where you want to go kill someone, I would say then worry about it. But if it's just your mind's eye flickering around and being like a Ren and Stimpy, don't worry about it. Experience it. It's like dreams. I don't think dreams are meant to be analyzed. They're meant to be dreamt.
Mm-hmm.
You should dream your dreams. And some people go, oh, my God, that dream I had, there's so much meaning. Well, you can do that if you want, but the important thing is they're meant there to be dreamt. So, yeah, the next time you feel you're going wacko, just sit down, deal with it, draw it, write it down.
That's another thing. I got to continue writing. When I write it out, it takes all the energy out of my head.
Well, that's probably good.
Yeah, that's what
Yeah, journals and diaries and writing is real good.
Well, I appreciate you taking the time out, Jerry.
Chris, my pleasure. I'm sincere. Stay in touch. It's always a pleasure.
All right.
All right.
I'll get this out to you.
Okay.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Bye now.
Hey, man.
Hello?
Yeah, hi. I was listening to KPFK this morning.
Yeah, so you heard Bob Dobbs.
Right.
Was this the first time you ever heard him?
First time I ever heard him.
And did you just stumble on it, or did you know it was going to be on?
No, I just stumbled on it.
What was your reactions?
Well, you have to speak a language to be able to understand a language, okay? So there's a lot of what I would call Bob Ease. Okay, can I put you on hold for 1 second?
Sure. So what you were talking about Bob Ease? Hello? Hello?
Yeah, hi.
So you were talking about Bob Ease. Do you remember any particular terms?
Oh, everything.
Oh, I see.
From his icons and his what were some of the other things? I heard a lot of things like Council of Ten. I don't know what he's referring to or anything.
I see. But what intrigued you to listen then?
Well, I like to listen to KPFK occasionally.
Yeah.
And, I just happened to have it on this morning. You know, I wasn't motivated by anything other than.
Right, but I'm saying what kept you listening if you weren't understanding it? Did you get some of it?
Well, not really, but, you know, that's what's piqued my interest. I would kind of like to read anything that he's got current that, you know, may explain his philosophies or whatever.
Great. Yeah, well, confusion's a good thing. So do you have a paper and pencil?
Uh-huh.
Ask him questions about what he's talking about
then.
So you can have him define a term or ask him to work with you on a specific term.
Okay, well, you know, are there books that are available? Is that what you're going to...
I'm going to send you a reading list, definitely. I would suggest at this point to start reading Marshall McLuhan, which I'll send you all a list of his books, and check out James Joyce's book, Finnegan's Wake.
Okay.
But in the meantime, yeah, just get me out the self-addressed stamped envelope, and then you can go from there.
Great. Appreciate it, Jerry.
Yeah, Rick, can I just ask you one last question? What year were you born?
1950.
50. Great. Well, thanks again.
Okay.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye.
Hello?
Hello, yes. I heard Bob on KPFK this morning.
All right. Did you just stumble on it, or did you know about it?
I knew of Bob through the Church of the Subgenius.
But this is the first time you've ever heard Bob on KPFK?
Yes.
And what did you think?
I really enjoyed it. It was quite dense.
Quite dense, yeah. What did you find dense in particular? Is there anything?
Speaking of, let's see, tactility?
Tactility, okay.
Let's see, also of hijacking of virtual reality and
right.
Things like that.
Well, that's good. I would say, do you have a paper and pencil?
Yes.
Okay. What you can
number?
That's the KPFK number. Yeah, to get on the air with you.
Yes, I've never. As I stated earlier, I've only heard of Bob through the Stang variation.
Right. Well, this is the real thing, and you have a unique opportunity to dialogue with him, and we appreciate your interest. Have you ever read Marshall McLuhan?
No.
You might check him out and check out Finnegan's Wake by James Joyce.
Yes, that I've always wanted to read.
Great. And what's your name?
Alex Piner.
Alex, and if you give me your phone number, I'll call you just before the 23rd to tune in.
My phone is disconnected.
Oh, okay. So. Well, that's fine. Just, you know, make a note of it.
I got the flyer in Venice.
Oh, yeah. Down on the beach?
Yes.
Yeah, you probably got it from me. Yeah. You can come down there today or any Saturday and Sunday from 3 to 6 and talk in person if you want about it.
Yeah, I think I'll drop by sometime.
Yeah, we're usually there 3 to 6.
Okay.
What year were you born?
65.
All right, Alex, I hope to meet you back down there. I'm usually standing around by the sign, so just ask for me.
Oh, great.
Okay, good to meet you.
And I will send you some extra stamps.
Yeah, or all you need to do is bring it. Bring a self-addressed stamped envelope down there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
Okay.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye.
Hello?
Yes, is this the guy who did the Bob Dobbs show this morning?
Yeah, let me ask you a few questions. Was this the first time you ever tuned in?
This is David.
I know. What year were you born?
Yes, this is the first time I ever tuned in.
And if I could get your phone number, I can call you up and remind you when the next show is.
I was born in 1953.
Okay, David, 53. And what in particular attracted you about the show?
Will you call me when the next show happens?
Yeah, but tell me, what in particular attracted you about this show?
That wonderful host.
Yeah.
Who put up with that jerk of the last caller.
Oh, God. That was classic, wasn't it? It is really. You know, one thing I can suggest is when the caller and Bob are talking at the same time, when you start talking, just start reciting something. Because when you're yelling over it, it makes it worse. It's almost like, let's play Finnegan's Wake. So
I know, it's like an ice piece. I was trying to get all three mics balanced equally.
Oh, it's brilliant, David. It was really brilliant. And you did a
Earth to Caller.
That was great. You did such a great job, especially, letting like Mark and Bob go for quite a while.
Oh, I know.
That one really developed well.
And then the thing about take it, Bob. Long pause.
Bob, that's always happened. If you review all the shows, I'll give you something to talk to him about, and he'll say it, and then he'll go, so what's the question? It's just sort of like getting your engine going.
Yeah.
But it was really a brilliant show, man.
What do you think about that thing about the red tie, that newly found red tie?
That was in Friday's LA Times.
I'm pretty sure. I think it's Thursday or Friday.
And it's the front section?
It's the front section, but buried.
Yeah, okay, I'll find it.
So I thought that was, I finally figured out. That's why people are getting stupid.
That's partly it.
No, the red tie was Christian.
That's
He's landlocked.
That's partly it, man.
You doesn't live near any water. Hey, he's living in, he's in New York now, man. That's close to water. Okay, you thought it was a good show, huh?
What did you think?
I thought it was pretty cool, but I never know. I'm biased.
I tell you, it was great. It developed, man. I've gotten some... You're the ninth call that's called in.
Yeah, well, do you notice I gave the phone number out often enough?
I know, and you even got my case about it, but that's cool.
Okay, man, that's it.
Thanks, David. I'll see you in a couple weeks with Bill.
Yeah, 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Bye.
Okay, bye. Hello?
Caller number 9 again. I want you to hear something.
Okay.
KPFK Los Angeles. This is your radio, Bob Dobbs. I'm the electric environment. You're wearing me, but I only appear as content on KPFK in Los Angeles. I think that you should reward that station for allowing me to penetrate its environment. Please send help. And please send the poor man's credit card money.
That I was hoping I'd hear that. That, but what does he say? Rework?
Rework?
Reward or rework?
Reward, I think.
Oh, reward. And I love how he says Los Angeles.
Yeah, Los Angeles.
That is great. But you know what? He didn't say your show, David Porter, so I hope
you're going to play it on my show.
Huh?
I'm only going to play it on my show.
Well, you should do a cart so that when they're doing fundraising, they can put it on.
Yeah, I should put it together with Jolene saying that she was waiting for Bill Mitchell and she didn't see all my lives was dumb. And I've got that one here. And I'm putting together this massive thing.
Put it together as a cart that anybody can shove in during fundraising and add the phone number. And add the, you know, that it's David.
Dude, I'll do a voiceover or something. You shove it in, dude.
That was great when you had him do that. And then he goes, the poor man's credit card.
Say KPFK Los Angeles. KPFK Los Angeles. That's getting to be my trademark. I just go up to anyone and say, KPFK Los Angeles.
That's great.
Okay, man.
Thanks, David. Good work.
Bye.
Bye. Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, you calling about Bob Dobbs?
Yeah.
All right, what's your name?
Are you the gentleman?
My name is Jerry, and why did you tune in, or how did you find out about the show?
Well, I watched on TV, I mean not the TV radio, I listened to that.
But how did you find out? Did you know about it, or did you just stumble on it?
Happened to.
You just stumbled on it.
Yeah, I was wondering if we have any literature or anything. I mean, you...
Oh, sure. We got lots of literature. Do you have a pencil or paper?
Yeah.
Okay. So, exactly did you find interesting? What did you like about
it? You know, his concept of the things, you know, whatever he was talking about it.
What do you think he was talking about?
Huh?
What was he talking about?
Seems to me he was talking about life in a total different prospect, you know.
That we have a total different prospect, or does he does?
Yeah, Bob.
Bob Dobbs has
Bob, I think.
So he's offering you a total different look.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you think that's interesting.
Yeah, I think so.
And why do you think we need a different aspect?
Well, I think we're more like in a tunnel vision. We only see the things, in more like a tunnel vision.
Right.
It was... look at different area of things, you know, different way. I mean, you know.
And what ways have you used before in the past to get out of the tunnel vision?
For myself, I don't know myself. I think that is all the things of life. I mean, that's what I don't know how to get out. But that,
yeah.
You know? So but I want to find out.
But it's still worth the try.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's good. Have you ever read Marshall McLuhan?
No. Marshall, what's the name of author?
Yeah, the author. I'm sending you a list. You send me a self-addressed stamped envelope, and I'm sending you a list of some of McLuhan's books that you might explore, and you might explore James Joyce, Finnegan's Wake.
Yeah. A lot of good, I think the writers, who might, give some knowledge of different aspects of life.
So what's your name?
My name is David.
David, and... if you give me your phone number, I'll call you before the 23rd and remind you that Bob's on, if you like.
Well, right now, I'm calling from different places.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah.
What year were you born?
What year?
Yeah.
35.
All right. Well, we really appreciate you calling in and send off that that self-addressed stamped envelope, and I'll send you a whole bunch of information.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you, David.
Yeah, bye.
Hello?
I'm calling about a radio program I heard this morning.
Yeah, that's great. Did you just stumble upon it, or have you tuned into Bob Dobbs before?
Well, I'm a KPFK listener, and I just stumbled upon it.
Well, great. So this was the first time you ever heard Bob?
I think it was the second time. The first time it was so confusing, I just didn't listen much.
I see. So this time you found it less confusing?
Yes, I did.
Okay, so what did you like about today's show?
Well, I liked the part about, I still find it very confusing, but I liked the part about when he referred to Marshall McLuhan.
Yes.
And how he was talking about, let's see, what did, I found that I could relate a little bit to the idea of this being a... electrical sort of...
We live in an electrical environment.
Right, uh-huh.
Yeah, it's sort of like fish aren't aware of what they're swimming in. They're not aware of water. And we're swimming in electricity, and we're really not aware of it.
Right. So I decided that I would read the book, The Absence of the Sacred.
Yes.
And I went to the library to get it, but they don't have it. So I thought this was a number they said for tapes. So I thought maybe if I call this number, you could tell me where I might get that book.
Oh, you can find the book around town. Do you have a paper or pencil?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
It seems that the people who called him are so aware of what he's talking about that I don't even have any real question for him.
Listen, that's totally okay. If you heard Bob's 4 years of radio on Toronto, some people knew what Bob was talking about who called, and some didn't. And I wouldn't let that scare you away. He welcomes your participation as well, and he will handle you respectfully, believe me.
Okay.
Don't feel alienated because you don't understand all his terms. In fact, he welcomes that.
All right.
He wants all participation, so we welcome your participation. In the meantime, you know, that's an okay book to pursue, and there's other bookstores around town. You'll be able to find it.
And I can find it at a bookstore.
Sure.
Like what bookstore?
What part of town are you in?
Hollywood.
Oh, you can call Book Soup or go to Dutton's on San Vicente, Phoenix in Santa Monica.
Right.
Okay. Midnight Special. But let me suggest in the meantime, you send your self-addressed stamped envelope, and you'll get a list of all McLuhan's books. But go to some of the good used bookstores in Hollywood there. You got a lot of them.
Well, you think it might be at the Bodhi Tree?
Oh, the Bodhi Tree, yeah. But I'm just saying, why don't you pick up some of McLuhan's books in the used section? There's two that I highly recommend that you can start off that are really simple.
Okay.
The medium is The Massage.
Right.
And War and Peace in the Global Village.
To have one of those books.
Good. I would go and review it again because it's a lot of fun and it's not easy, but it looks easy, and contemplate a little of that.
Yes.
But it was great hearing from you. What's your name?
My name is Barbara Thompson.
Barbara, if you like, I can take your number, and then when the next show gets close around July 20th, I'll give you a call just to remind you.
All right, great. That'll be fine.
What's your number?
My number is 213-874-5550.
Mm-hmm. 5550?
Yes.
And can I ask you what year you were born?
1938.
Great. Well, we really love to hear from you, and I hope you check more of this out. Don't ever hesitate to call if you want to talk more.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Okay, Barbara.
Bye.
Bye.
Guys, that big book you guys sold about 10 years ago?
Yes.
12 years ago?
Yeah.
And I didn't know you were still around.
Yeah, well, what's your name?
My name's Russ.
Russ, R-U-S-S?
Yeah.
Yeah, so what did you think of the show?
I thought it was great.
And what did you like about it specifically?
It's outrageous.
Yeah. And, if you want some more information, you got a paper and pencil, I'll give you our address and you can send me self-addressed stamped envelope.
Is that book still available? You know the one? You know which? I don't know how many you guys have. The one. It was,
the book of the subgenius, I think, is probably what you saw.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's still available.
Okay. And what do you guys got? Who is this?
My name's Jerry.
Jerry?
Yeah.
Well, you got tapes available and.
There's all kinds of stuff. Mainly, what I send you is information.
Okay.
So you got a pencil?
Yes, I do. And they were talking about some other books. Postman, I believe.
Neil Postman. What I send you is a whole list of books, a book list. Mainly, they're Marsha McLuhan. Neil Postman's an author you could check out, and Jerry Manders they were talking about, but. If I was you and this stuff interests you, I would say go with the book list I send you at first. That's mainly all the books of Marshall McLuhan and James Joyce, Finnegan's Wake.
Yeah, they were okay. Is that readable?
You can.
That's so fucking tough to read, but anyway.
No, you can contemplate it. It's definitely worth checking out.
Okay. Your name's Jerry?
Yeah.
You're not Jerry Manders.
No, I'm not. But you can send that self-addressed stamped envelope to me, and my last name's F-I-A-L-K-A.
F-I-A-L-K-A.
And if you want to give me your phone number, I can call you before the 23rd to remind you the show's on.
Okay. It's 818?
Yep.
341?
341?
4514.
And what year were you born?
46.
All right, Russ. Well, thanks a lot for your interest.
Okay.
Thanks.
Bye.
Hello?
Yeah, I was calling about information on Bob Dobbs' material.
All right, great. Good to hear from you. My name is Jerry. How'd you find out about the show?
Oh, David Porter, and I've heard you many times on there, too.
Oh, great. So you've heard Bob on Porter's show before.
I've heard him many, many times.
Great. What's your name?
I'm Jeff.
Jeff, and what interests you about the show? I mean, what you know, it's evident you're keep on tuning in. Is there anything in particular you like about it? Or?
Well, probably the first thing that sucked me in was it was probably the only place I heard Zappa played on the radio other than the few semi-hits that FM played years and years ago.
Right. But that's more to David's show.
Right.
What intrigues you about Bob?
It's interesting concepts, I guess.
Yeah. Great.
I mean, I like the whole thing, although I must admit that I tried to read Finnegan's Wake, and I I gave up on it.
And when was that, recently or a while back?
It was probably two shows ago, it was after he did the, when you played the tape where he did the 10 thunderclaps.
Yeah.
He defined those.
So then you went out and got it.
Went out and got the, you know, book from the library. Well, of course, that was the problem, too, because I could only keep it for 2 weeks, so.
Right.
You know, I mean, I should buy a copy and.
That's what I'd say, is just keep an eye peeled at used bookstores, because it's easy to find at used bookstores, and you can get a pretty good.
Yeah, product. Well, yesterday when he was talking about viewing it, not as like reading it, but just as one aspect of just looking at it, just the way that the words are arranged and the phrasing and
exactly
as if it was radio or whatever, that hadn't thought of that before.
Oh yeah, you can read it out loud. You can't really like read it. You
not either, although I've heard it read out loud before.
Yeah, where at?
On the radio, it was
by James Joyce.
I don't know who was reading it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I don't know who the actual reader was. This was on KPFK, too.
But this was old and scratchy voice, or was it good reading?
No, it sounded fairly, like a fairly recent tape, you know, fairly modern, you know.
Oh, great. Yeah, I would say buy a copy so you have it. Then you can always refer to it when Bob refers to certain pages. And you can always just dig in. You can just start anywhere and just read a couple lines and see what sort of insights you can get from it, and it's a catalyst for thinking. And
well, he gave the name of Ronald McHugh Annotations.
Ronald McHugh's Annotations is a great book.
I think I'll get that.
Dutton's on San Vicente has had it in the past, and I ordered my copy through them.
So it's like you're still able to purchase it then.
Oh, yeah.
Correct, okay.
Yeah, and then get Campbell's Skeleton Key to Finnegan's Wake, and between those two, that's pretty good.
Yeah, I've heard Joseph Campbell tapes about it.
Yeah, too. He's good about it, too. So if you have a paper and pencil, I'll give you my address.
Okay. I'd have been on Roy of Hollywood.
Well, Roy actually played one show of David's with Bob.
I heard that. I heard the repeat of that. But this was prior to hearing.
Well, actually, Porter had Bob on in '89.
Right.
And then he's had him on about six times last year, and probably about six or seven times this year.
Yeah, I've caught all of the Furry Lint ones, and then a couple of other ones besides those.
Good. Glad to hear it. Can I ask you what year you were born?
59.
All right. All right, Jeff. Well, stay in touch. Send me a self-addressed stamped envelope, and you got my number, so call me whenever you want to talk about it more.
Okay, and is the Furry Lint tape available?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's not really a legal thing with all the music on it, but, I can sell you a copy for donation if you want to just, you know, you can,
Hey, Jerry.
Yeah?
I think it caused an earthquake yesterday when that show.
That could very well be. I thought it was brilliant.
Yeah, I think it was a show that will evoke a lot of response.
Well, we've gotten 15 calls already.
Did they start calling before the show was over?
No. That's a great courtesy. They don't do that. But, you know, I'm not here all the time, so there's probably a lot more. But.
Well, I called right at 11:30 and the phone was busy.
Yeah, there were some good calls right off the bat. There was one woman who goes by the name Dreamweaver, but man, she's doing some heavy stuff. She's some sort of biologist, scientist, or something, and she says you can do things to the brain, like she's raised llamas, and they don't have strong legs, and she actually raised one with strong legs by doing something to his brain. I don't know what it entails. I didn't get all, you know, it's on tape, but I didn't get the gist of it completely. And she's very interested. She's just like, man, I don't want to just get some paper. I want tapes right now. So I says, okay, well. So she's quite interested.
Well, what kind of tapes you send her?
I'll probably send her David J. Brown, and then I was thinking about sending her the Bob's Media Ecology, but then I thought she wants information, so probably Fragments in David J. Brown.
Yes.
I'd say those are the two top two, wouldn't you?
Well, I guess so. I mean, the other ones might be better.
What's the other ones?
You know, Jeff or something, but I don't know. Fragments, is that still
good? Wait, Jeffrey Hill, you mean?
Yeah, is that still good? Is Fragments still good?
Well, Fragments is good because it gives you a taste of how you were then and now. And, I mean, it's not that you've changed that much, but it also gives you... See, the good thing about Fragments is it's not just one person. So it's a good collage.
Right. So what did the boys at the bench say?
Wait, are we still rolling? Oh, okay.
What, you're taping?
Yeah, I might as well turn this off. Bo?
Gerald.
Yeah.
What's happening?
Hi, who's calling?
It's Mark, man. What's up?
Mark Free?
Yeah.
Oh, how's it going?
What the fuck's up, man?
Not much.
Yeah, are you getting organized?
God am I ever. There's so much going on. Hold on. Hello?
Hello. I'd like to get some information on that tape of Bob Dobbs.
All right, thanks for calling. Huh? Did you hear the show on KPFK on Saturday?
Only heard part of it.
And how did you find out about it? Did you just stumble on it, or did you know about it?
Oh, I'm a KPA listener, and I don't know why. I just tuned in late.
I see. So you just stumbled on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so what did you find intriguing about it?
The whole thing about this Bob Dobbs, I mean, I've never heard anything like that before.
Yeah, so you enjoyed it.
Yes.
Oh, great. So do you have a paper and pencil?
Yes. What is does he have tapes and stuff?
Hello?
Hi, Jerry. It's Scott.
Hey, Scott. Hello?
Hey, Jerry.
Yeah.
I just went to call time again so I could leave the message.
Yeah.
And the number...
Hello?
Cool, Jerry.
Yeah.
You be ready to go in a bit?
Hello?
Yeah, hi.
Hi. You calling about Bob Dobbs?
Yeah.
Yeah. Was this the first time you ever heard the show?
No, I've heard it a couple times.
Oh, and what was your reaction this time?
Oh, well, just, you know, it was stimulating and just made me want to, you know, get a bibliography or something to follow up.
Great. So do you have a paper and pencil?
Yes,
You know, you might want to write down the call-in phone number, 818-985-5735, because we do indeed encourage participation. What's your name?
Oh, Tim.
Tim?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, and have you ever read McLuhan or James Joyce, Finnegan's Wake?
No, No, I've always heard references made to them, and, you know, so that was interesting to, you know,
yeah,
follow up on that, because it kind of, you know, I always heard it was just something that was unintelligible, you know, I couldn't really make out what it was about type of thing, and so in the context that he's talking about it, you know, it just
spurred your interest.
Exactly, yeah, it just really sparked it. So I just want, he makes references to a lot of different books and things like that, and, you know, I'm kind of at work trying to write things down, and it's,
right,
so I figured that, you know, with this, you know, I can maybe get some kind of references as to even some of his work. I mean,
sure.
Bob Dobbs has put out books. He's written books.
He's got one book out right now, and then a couple CDs and some other stuff. I'll send you a list of all that.
Oh, okay.
What in particular? Was there anything in particular that you liked about this last show or any of the shows? Like any specifics?
Yeah, just totally stimulating. I mean, just the stuff he's, you know, the first couple shows, it was hard to follow, you know, because some of it's satire and fun and other things, and people are kind of bringing in sort of where they're at, which is at different points I can see in their understanding, and, you know, so it's entertaining, but at the same time, I can see a lot of, you know, I just, such an analysis behind, you know, what's going on, and so some of that is very intellectual, you know, take on, you know, sort of what our environment and everything. So it's just, you know, on multi-levels, really. So, and as I've heard of, you know, heard him speak on David Porter's show a couple of times since then, you know, it's sort of starting to gel a little
right.
more, so.
Yeah. Well, that's great, Tim. And if you like, you can give me your number, and I'll call you to remind you in advance when the next show's on.
Oh, I've got it on my calendar. So.
Oh, okay.
I always listen to the, you know, tune in, and it seems... Well, he's, I guess, having him on a somewhat of a regular basis now, but...
Yeah, every other month.
Yeah, I just wanted to sort of do some work on my own to kind of, you know, become more literate and able to, you know, pick up on more of what's being said.
Well, great. We appreciate you calling in.
Thanks.
And let me ask you one more question. What year were you born?
54.
54?
Yeah.
Great. Well, thanks, Tim.
Okay, great.
All right.
Talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Hello?
Hi. Do you have a resource list or something for Bob Dobbs?
I do. Was this the first time you ever heard him?
No, I've heard him, and one time I heard him, he mentioned that his, you know, things were at the Tower Records, but they aren't at any Tower Records.
What part of town are you in?
Well, I'm over in Orange County, but I've tried from West L.A. all over.
Okay, because do you have a paper and pencil?
Yes, I do.
And can you tell me what specifically you liked about this show?
Well, it's just all very fascinating. specifically, probably the part about the mining of the mines, if you would.
I see.
If you will. Did I get that right?
Sounds good. Have you ever read Marshall McLuhan?
Yeah.
You have? What books have you read by him?
Wait, I'm not sure it was him or his partner. I read one book. I don't know that it was called the Global...
Either Global Village or War and Peace in the Global Village.
No. Okay, now, did he ever... Somebody associated with him wrote a book, like a partner or some long-term associate. It went into all that electronic stuff.
Right, and it's probably the Global Village.
Maybe that's what I read.
Yeah.
Written by not him, but another man.
Yeah. I'll be sending you a list of his books. I'd suggest checking him out, and also James Joyce, Finnegan's Wake.
I bought that, but I don't. It's just gibberish to me.
Yeah.
I heard somebody reading it. Well, then it's like a rhythm that I would get into, but
yeah.
Not reading it myself. It's too unfamiliar. It's like when you're a little kid and you're reading Shakespeare for the first time, and it just doesn't do anything, but it's all there.
Right.
You're just too immature to get it.
Right.
Well, I don't get the chance. I even got a 1939 version once because it was unabridged or hadn't been edited yet.
Yeah.
Or something. I found it in some school in Santa Ana somewhere.
And that was a long time ago or recently?
Oh, like in the last few years.
Yeah.
But I still...
And that was before you started hearing Bob, or you bought it?
Yeah, because I ran into some lady who...
They
have like conventions and
right. They had one down there. On
all James. That kind of stuff with these James Joyce people.
Yeah.
I think they had some at UCI and.
They did.
Yeah, and they even go out of state, and it all sounds fascinating, and I can hop into it, but I don't know. It doesn't really mean anything to me when
right.
I read it.
I understand. What's your name?
Linda Burnett, B-U-R-N-E-T-T.
All right, Linda. And if you want, you can give me your number, and I'll call you before the 23rd to remind you.
It's 714-543-5509.
Great. And can I ask you what year you were born?
41.
Great. Well, thanks a lot, Linda.
Bye.
Okay. Hello?
Hello, is Jerry there?
Speaking.
Jerry, I didn't recognize your voice.
Wait. Hello.
Oh, it's Jerry there.
Yeah.
Jerry, this is Rob Sweet.
Hey, Rob, did you hear the show?
No, man, I missed it.
Did you tape it?
No.
Well, that was dumb. Hello?
Hello, is this the number for Jerry Fialka?
Yes, it is.
Yes, do you have a few moments?
Yeah, who's calling? I think, have I talked to you before, Charles?
Yes.
In the last show?
No, I didn't call in. I was too uptight when I heard the name Fritz Kramer.
Well, do you know that Bob gave Mae Brussel one of her main insights by turning her on to the book Adventures of a Bystander by Peter Drucker, which has a whole chapter on Fritz Kramer? If not, I would recommend you checking it out.
I checked out that book, and I mentioned Craig Hewlett to you, so I'll mention it again. He does.
Oh, I know Craig.
He used to do good talks on the New World Order.
And oh yeah, I know.
Slam Henry Kissinger, and I sent him the parts about Henry Kissinger being Fritz Kramer's protege.
What did he say?
I just sent it up to him.
Oh, you never got a response.
Well, no, I don't expect responses. He goes through too much info, but just knowing you got to know the Nazi line of this stuff.
Yeah.
And
so, what did you think about this show? Did you hear all the Peter Beter stuff?
Yeah.
What'd you think of that?
I'm going to check it out. Check out some of the... Go back and... I'm actually going to go to the library and look some of that up. See if those things were happening. And I think it's just too peculiar and too strange for me to even want to pursue, but I'm going to do it anyway.
Oh, yeah. Well, Peter Beter worked for John F. Kennedy.
How do you spell Beter?
B-E-T-E-R.
Oh, okay. What did he work for Kennedy as?
Advisor of some sort in the gold market.
Oh, let's see. Well, Nixon closed the gold window, so that's why they dusted him. And Kennedy started printing notes, so that's one of the reasons they dusted him.
I tell you, I am not as informed as I wish I was on all of it, but there's lots of Beter tapes that you can get. And then, have you ever listened to Dave Emery?
I record and take notes.
Yeah.
Every Wednesday night.
Yeah. Well, do you ever come to the live events at Phoenix?
No, I live down in Orange County, and I can't. Anybody down here goes up there, so.
Oh, okay.
Do you know anybody in Orange County?
That comes?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I'll try to get their number next time. I don't have it now, but they come every time. Dennis. I don't know his last name. He put out a Soapbox Press. Very interesting guy. In fact, he has tons of Beter tapes, and he lives in Orange County. What's your number? I'll give it to him.
It's a 71. You got a pen?
Yeah.
714.
Yeah.
541.
Uh huh.
4944.
4944.
Yeah.
And what year were you born?
59.
Yeah. So, do you have any particular comments on this show?
Yeah. I think things are getting strange, but I also, within the last year, I do cut things out of the paper, and there's a Fritz Kramer who is working for Clinton.
Are you kidding?
I'm not kidding. And I risked my bloody neck. He was undersecretary of something in the State Department, and then he shifted over to the Pentagon as undersecretary in the Pentagon for something like foreign affairs. And he was mentioned twice. I saw him in the paper. One, he was in Somalia making the decisions, and they mentioned his name, and his name was mentioned somewhere in the State Department. So, and when I called the Pentagon and asked if I could get some information about this guy, his bio, because he's supposedly dead, right? He was put on trial, slammed away. Goes to work for us, trains Henry Kissinger, then commits suicide. I think that's the version I heard. Put a gun in his mouth. One of the Nazi books I got says that.
What year does this happen? He worked for Clinton and then he committed suicide?
No. I think it's for... Maybe I'm thinking of Otto Skorzeny. I get the two... I've just perused through the stuff. But supposedly... Otto Skorzeny is supposedly dead. And... Fritz Kramer, I'm just conjecturing. He might have been the guy who they said committed suicide. That's just conjecture. Him or Otto Skorzeny, one or the other.
Yeah.
And I was just surprised to see his name come up again and working in two departments, defense in the Pentagon, and it was either the defense or the State Department and under foreign affairs. So, and he was running the Somalia operation, and he had something else to do with, I think it was like Bosnia or something.
Uh-huh.
Twice his name has appeared.
Uh-huh.
So, it just made me go tilt.
Yeah.
What have you heard about the guy? Has he disappeared, or is he still...
Who, Fritz Kramer?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Huh. Yeah, when I called the Pentagon, they put me on hold for a bit, and the secretary is very congenial, and then she got back on the line and said, "Why do you want to know?"
And, really? Where was this at, where they did that?
When?
Where was it that they put you on hold?
At the Pentagon.
Oh, that's great. Can you hold on one second?
Yeah.
Thanks.